Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 469. Today, Robert asks, how can a writer work out what they need to improve? I've written 3 novels so far, and I've learned something or a lot of things each time. I have realized where some weaknesses are and chosen projects to challenge these. My main goals were, first, actually complete a novel. Second, having a tight plot. Third, having a tight plot with multiple protagonists. I've had minor goals as well. When I read, I try to pay attention to the voice of the author and see what they're doing that I'm not, even if my conclusion is that I wouldn't want to imitate. Now I'm wondering how I extend beyond this. How do I identify more weaknesses? How do I determine what might be holding back the quality of my work? Ooh, good questions, Robert. Good questions. The sorts of things you're doing already are a really good start, and a lot of what I'd recommend sort of run in the same direction. The first thing I'd really heavily recommend is as you're reading other writers, not just as you're reading other writers, as you're listening to music, as you're watching movies, as you're watching TV, anytime you have a significant emotional reaction, especially if that emotional reaction has some kind of flavor of, oh my god, I wish I could do that, pay attention. Whether it's a turn of phrase, or something about the dialogue, or something about the imagery, or the way that it's controlling your attention, or the kinds of characters that are in play. That's a tough one for a lot of people, because we all have limited experience. Writing characters that aren't in our direct experience is not just difficult, it's actually almost a lateral mental move, because as we're writing, those characters simply don't occur to us to include. And then there'll be character types that we're familiar with in real life, but that we don't include because we're uncomfortable with them, or we don't like being around those people in real life, so we don't want them in our fiction and whatnot. Anytime you find yourself running into that kind of thing, serious admiration for another writer, or a sudden awareness that you're looking at something that you have no idea how to do yourself, that's a clue that this is an area where you could probably stand some improvement. Though perhaps that's not entirely fair. Instead of saying an area where you could stand some improvement, it might be better to put it, this is an area where you are currently prepared to improve. Because everybody, as far as I know, I've never met a writer yet who didn't have room for improvement on basically everything. And I mean that everywhere from Tolstoy and Shakespeare all the way on down. There's always a better way to do any particular given thing. There's always ways to improve. The trick is finding what you're ready to improve on. That's harder. And that little voice in the back of your head that says, wow, when you run into a story that takes your breath away, or a turn of phrase, or a character that elicits a really strong emotional reaction, that little voice is a really good compass to be following. It can tell you a lot. And as far as getting that voice to notice things, I don't want to take the joy out of reading or consuming stories, because that's a really important piece to keep a hold of. But pay attention to aspects that you might not be inclined to pay attention to at first, things you might not even really know are there, like layering in a story, or the way that a plot is working, or the difference between a protagonist and a good guy, or the difference between a villain and an antagonist. Sometimes they're not the same thing. Side characters and side vignettes, irrelevant details, all these kinds of things make up the texture of a story. Language flow, all the sorts of things we talk about here. No matter how good you are, and I include not only myself in this as well as all of you, but all of my idols as well. No matter how good you are, there are parts of this discipline that you don't know about yet, let alone parts that you could stand to improve on. So one of the biggest ways that you can find places to improve that'll really set you apart is by learning vocabulary. And it doesn't even need to actually be words. But developing the ability to perceive the different kinds of things that are going on in stories that maybe the writers didn't even know they were doing. Becoming aware of all the different ways that stories affect you can give you access to things that you don't have words for yet. But you don't need words for them to start playing with them. You can even develop your own special words for them and then find out later that there's actually a term for that. And as impotent as that might sound, that sort of vague awareness-y thing, it really, really does work. The more that you know how to notice, the more that you will be able to have at the ready, at the top of the back of your mind as you're writing. And one of the real tricks to managing creativity and to goosing it is to getting that churn of ideas and images and words and thoughts and feelings in the back of your mind, getting it at a good rolling boil so that you have available to you a symbolic vocabulary, a storytelling vocabulary that is greater than your everyday experience. Even if you're only writing about your everyday experience, that vaster symbolic and storytelling vocabulary will help you evoke and convey that regular experience in ways that you didn't think you could. Another way to describe what I'm trying to talk about, because I'm sort of inventing the words as I go, it's about learning to see and hear. Like, I talk a lot about music, or at least I talk about it from time to time, because I've learned so much about storytelling from music. And I don't even mean music with lyrics. One of my favorite examples is George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Rhapsody in Blue is a story. It's a 14-minute story. The whole thing is the sound of America in the 1920s. All of it. Everything from the hustle and bustle of the hyper-industrialized New York to the sweet and almost tragic sense of looking out at the Great Plains with, you know, the sun low in the sky and storm clouds on the horizon and the whole bit. There is a palpable story and progression as you go through Rhapsody in Blue, especially when it's conducted really, really well. It tells a real story, and it's the same do 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 that progression of notes, but inflected in a thousand different ways to evoke all sorts of stuff, from rain on the roof to a little child playing to bison running across the Great Plains to the thump 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 of a pile driver. It's all there. All tells a story, and then it comes together at the end. And if you've gotten lost in it, it's the kind of story that makes you cry at the end, because it hits at the very end with immense grandeur and incredible tenderness at the same time. That management of emotions, that evocation of emotions in sequence, tells a story even when there's no words to accompany it. And the story doesn't even have to be vivid in a linguistic sort of way to be vivid to the heart, be vivid to the emotions. So learning to see along different axes, learning to see and hear and touch and taste, and learning to listen to the data coming in from all of your senses and from all of your emotional senses, all of your relational senses, those will all deepen and enrich your writing in ways that it's very hard to find words to describe. But when you're reading a story like that, and it's on your wavelength, oh boy, do you know it. It won't let you go. So, sorry to get all touchy-feely on you, but, you know, it's a great topic. Thanks very much for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.